Voraciously delicious hello to you from sunny Vancouver, where the action never stops, even as we change our socks. This is Tom, and I'm coming at you with the May 2012 issue of Tomicide Solutions, mysteriously or miserably entitled 8 Advantages of Premium Pricing Strategy and 8 Disadvantages of Economy Pricing. Did you know that nearly 2,500 left-handed people die each year as a result of using products meant for right-handed people? The reason why I mention this hair-raisingly exciting fact is because even more IT companies kill their bottom lines every year by accepting the wrong clients, and those clients have the nasty habit of dragging their IT providers to their very pits of financial hell. We have to accept the fact that many clients don't need IT support, but what they need is an external entity to take the blame for the mess management has created. Good example for that is the latest Facebook IPO. I just read it this morning that the so-called experts are blaming the banks, blaming the Nasdaq for the, as you probably know, the Facebook went public with the big brouhaha, and from day one the stock prices started, well, going down. And Facebook and all the experts are blaming the banks, JP Morgan, and the Nasdaq itself, and they blame everyone and everything in sight except, well, Facebook itself. Of course, it's too early to know what exactly happened, but I'm just a bit surprised that as soon as the shit hit the fan, finger pointing started right away. Okay, this is happening. Who can be blamed for it? IT is pretty much the same. For instance, the client security has been breached, but the breach is still contained. Sort of contained. So the company desperately wants to hire an IT firm and then blame the breach on that firm, even to sue the IT company. This is why IT companies must be careful about which clients to accept and which clients to reject. One of the main selectors is your fees and prices. Today we discuss 8 reasons why you should charge premium fees and prices, and also we discuss 8 reasons why not charging premium fees can cause, or rather 8 problems you can face if you don't charge premium fees. In my experience, clients who are willing to pay premium fees for your products and services are some of the best clients you can get. Yes, they have high expectations, but they are willing to pay for it and respect you as a professional. The reality is that the less clients pay, the harder it is to work with them. At least this is my experience. I've heard several of my clients complain that their clients bossed them around and demanded idiotic things or else. And they didn't say anything because they didn't want to lose the gig. One big advantage of charging premium prices is that you get premium grade clients who can play nicely and honestly. But what is a premium grade client anyway? Here are just some of the attributes of premium caliber clients. They play their cards over the table. There are no hidden agendas and they are open with you. They are willing to reveal their darkest secrets to you, knowing that the more they reveal to you, the more you can help. They make requests, but not demands. They treat you as a peer, not as a subordinate. And they pay you fully and promptly. They may say that today your pencil is rather sharp. But they pay anyway because they know that relative to the investment, their return, and that return may not happen tomorrow right away, the return justifies the investment. The problem is that most IT companies don't have strong enough walk-away muscles to fire their clients, return their money, and walk away from bad business. They rather gut it out because they get paid. Sort of hooker philosophy. We do anything for anyone for money. But the problem is, you see, that the very people who have to gut it out with clients are the people who get paid the least. So for them, this work is the proverbial latrine duty, and they get paid peanuts for it. But we have to change from volume game to margin game. IT companies desperately want to sell more of their products and services, that is, increasing gross sales, but are pathetically negligent of increasing their margins. And this is where the problem lies. Even those companies that make a truckload of money on the surface lose most of that money after all the overheads are paid. And they do all the wrong things to make fatter margins. And for that, I want you to look at that little graph here. Based on a McKinsey study, I think it was McKinsey conducted that in the 70s sometimes. McKinsey studied Fortune 1000 companies and showed that on average 1% price increase increases operating earnings, that is net profit, by 11.1%, assuming there is no change in sales volume or cost of goods sold. In contrast, 1% increase in sales volume leads to only 3.3% profit increase. So you can see increasing your prices is almost four times as effective as increasing your sales volume. Yet, when you look at IT companies, what do? They try to increase sales volume and they desperately try to cut costs. And what do they achieve? Nothing, not a sausage. So most IT companies are so busy chasing the 3.3% increase by going after more clients, but they neglect the 11.1% increase by failing to provide more value for fewer clients at higher fees. So let's look at a few points why it's a good idea to become a premium IT company and charge somewhere at the high end of the industry's fee structure. So let's see. Number one, by charging more than the competition, you preempt both your company and the merchandise as being something different, something of one of a kind. You can also offer better overall working experience than your competition. You put your firm on an upward spiral of improvement. Number two, you can do exponentially higher quality, thus higher value work for your clients. Just think about it. A Ferrari doesn't take 10 times more time and effort to make than a Ford. Yet, even an entry-level Ferrari costs more than 10 times of a Ford. And there is a huge difference in the quality of the service too. Number three, you can retain top-tier talent to provide top-drawer service. Unlike junk food joints that can produce consistent and predictable results using minimum wage kids and rigid systems, selling high-margin stuff need both good systems and real talent, not merely workers. Go to a specific junk food joint and order some desserts. The kid on the other side of the counter will ask you the following rigid system-driven question. Do you want fries with that? Who the bloody hell wants fries after dessert? that's an interesting thing, because realistically, who eats fries after ice cream? But that's the system, that they always have to ask, whatever you buy, they have to ask, do you want fries with that? Well, that's a system, but you can't sell premium solutions based on a rigid, somewhat idiotic system like that. Number four, you can create a fatter piggy bank to finance various initiatives in your firm. You can be more responsive to your clients. You can send people to better skill building programs. You have more time and financial resources to respond rapidly to client emergencies, which will put you head and shoulders above your competition. Number five, you can better focus on servicing a few existing clients and stay in touch with your five-star prospects. That is five-star prospects, regardless of number of them. It means you can create value beyond the scope of the basics of your merchandise, because you are not watching the watch and you're not on an airtight schedule. Have you had this experience that you had if you've ever had any kind of coaching, if you've ever participated in coaching programs, that the coach comes on the call, usually the group call, group coaching call, usually the last person to come on, and at the end you can't even wrap up the call correctly, because the coach says, you know what, I have to run now to the next session. I remember many years ago when I did the EMIT program, the EMIT Mastery Academy, we went through that virtually every single time. The coach would come on the call, and the call was great. The calls were great because the program was really good. But at the end, okay, I have to run now. And then we tried to email our questions and we didn't get an answer because she was too busy. So that's not a good idea. Number six, your overall sales may drop a bit, but rest assured, your overall profit margin and cash flow will increase. If your cost of doing business is the same, a 10% price increase means you make the same profit on 68% of your previous sales volume. So think about it and choose wisely now. What will it be for you? High volume or high margin? And you can't have both. Number seven, your people's morale, enthusiasm and passion will be higher and higher because they know they are part of a firm that is going somewhere. Your people will be less stressed and more cheerful, which increases their ability to attract perfect clients. No one wants to do business with a miserable company staffed by minimum wage, minimum skill, minimum commitment, frustrated people serving anyone with a pulse and a bank account. Number eight, premium buyers are loyal and committed to the success of their projects. They also understand that business is a value exchange, not an all-for-nothing deal. They respect your boundaries, and while they expect you to be responsive, they know you are not on call. And they were the eight advantages of charging premium fees. And now we can look at what happens to IT companies that decide to forego the premium caliber industrial authority status and remain low budget alternative caliber replaceable vendors. If you've been there, then you know it's a rather shitty situation. If you've never been there, then avoid it like the plague. Number one, since often due to financial constraints, these IT companies are forced to do some shortcuts, they attract clients who don't mind some shortcuts to save some pennies. Performing quality work is always undermined by cash flow problems. These substandard clients create bidding frenzy for lowest bidders, so bidders can get to each other's thought for the pathetic reward they can get. It means they live the rest of their miserable lives from bidding frenzy to bidding frenzy, never achieving even marginal success. Number two, because their quality of work and overall service are constantly undermined by cash flow problems, budget companies can never create the kind of perception that would attract premium caliber clients who would willingly pay higher fees for the firm's services. Number three, since money is always an issue, these companies are forced to hire minimum wage workers, often the ones whose applications the competition has already rejected. Yes, these people cost less in compensation, but they can create exponentially less value in their performance. In time, substandard clients further undermine morale, passion, and enthusiasm. That gradually lands the firm on a downward spiral. Number four, these companies live in constant client-chasing frenzy because their budget clients almost never do repeat business and hardly ever give referrals. So an awful lot of the firm's time, effort and money are spent on acquiring new clients to sustain their already dismal cash flow. Number five, price buyers go for low price regardless of quality. And most companies serving this segment of the market don't mind compromising on quality in order to get more clients. This approach leads to arguments with clients over fees and quality, which further undermines the company's reputation. And unhappy clients lead to unhappy employees, and they end up leaving. Number six, since these budget clients are also budget suppliers to their industries, the low-margin poverty mentality goes to the next level. Any problem they have with their budget clients rubs off on you. They pay late or give you reasons for not paying. We expected XYZ client to pay us, but they have cash flow problems, so we pay you when we get paid. Well, cash flow and other problems ripple through the whole chain. Rips through the IT company itself, its suppliers, and its clients. Number seven. For price buyers, loyalty is an unknown entity. They squeeze the most out of their suppliers, vendors, and consultants, and then kick up a big fuss about paying for the extra work they requested. This is the proverbial car buyer who buys a car and demands free driving lessons and free insurance from the car dealership to get a driving license to actually drive the new car. And they justify their free request because they've just paid a pile of money for the car. Well, the car is one thing and driving lessons are different things. Number eight. Due to living on a shoestring, budget buyers have developed a scarcity mentality and tend to see everything in the wrong way. They are looking for faults in people and errors in their actions. In their eyes, everyone is out there to get them, but they've become price smart, not to be ripped off by premium companies, so-called premium companies. They are pathetic negotiators, but class act hagglers. I think we know the difference between the two. They have a habit of wanting it all now and for as cheap as possible. So hopefully you can better see why it's in your best advantage to work hard and become a premium firm. You have a better life, get better paid, and will be surrounded by higher caliber people. The good news is that it's up to you which end of the fee scale you belong to. And as the saying goes, birds of the feather flock together. So flock premium clients to premium IT companies with premium talents and premium suppliers. And mediocre clients flock to budget companies with rest of the mediocre bunch type employees and suppliers. So all I ask you, just choose wisely. And this rather fiendish statement concludes our discussion for the month on 8 advantages of charging premium fees and 8 disadvantages of failing to do so. Hopefully you've got something out of it. I'd like to encourage you to assess your company against these 8 advantages and 8 disadvantages. Start with the disadvantages, and which disadvantage do you have, and try to eliminate those disadvantages and then move to the advantages. Look at your company that, okay, on this specific advantage, we are on a scale of 1 to 10, a 5. How can we get to level 7 by the end of the year or by the end of the fiscal quarter, fiscal month, whatever, for a time frame? And then that way you eliminate all your disadvantages and maximize all the advantages. So with that, best of luck to you to pull this off, and then have a great month, and we'll talk in